Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
إلى أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض.
You just heard the chanting, the Muslim chant that's occurring as we speak at the Obama conference on terrorism. They're having a conference on terrorism right now where they had a Muslim open up the chants, chanting, and we played Man in a Box, a little music to go with it. Of course, the big news is the lunatic, State Department's Marie Harf. Everyone with a brain is talking about her, but she is only a symptom of the disease. And as you well know, liberalism is a mental disorder that will kill all of us unless it's exposed for what it is. And the more Marie Harf talks about giving terrorist children jobs, and they'll put down their AK-47s, the more the average adult American may awaken to the fact that they're going to kill us all with their college view of the world. So we did a little research on Marie Harf. You know who she is, don't you? Remember yesterday's soundbite? Well, we have new ones. Let's start with one of the new ones where she says there are Christian militant groups as well as Muslim ones. Now, this is while Christians are having their heads cut off, women are being raped, sold into slavery, organs are being harvested, children are being raped. She now brings up this in clip 22.
This is not just a threat in one place. If you look at the Lord's Resistance Army and Kony, Joseph Kony, I don't remember people talking about that as much anymore, but that's a Christian militant group. So there are a lot of different extremist threats we face, and there are different tools we have to go after each one of them.
Yes, but a broken tool like you is not one of them. I mean, you know, everyone knows that a tool is useful only if it's not broken. But you're a broken tool. Now, yesterday, this broken tool, Marie Harf, set the world aflame with laughter. She did something that even Saturday Night Live couldn't have written. Listen to clip one.
Right now, what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, wow. So are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
So her answer is jobs training along the lines of the Great Society of LBJ. How'd that work out for Detroit? How'd that work out originally for Newark? Did jobs training stop the youth from burning Newark to the ground and decimating Detroit? I don't think jobs training is the answer, but that's the liberal answer to everything, is the Great Society. So now let's expand the Great Society that bankrupted America and hollowed out cities like Detroit, and now let's take that same mentality and apply it to the world. And the Arab youth that is disaffected, the African youth that's disaffected and is joining terrorist groups, will put down the AK-47s. They won't go out for the rapes and the enslavement of people. They're going to be happy to stay home and serve camel burgers wearing little white paper hats instead. They'll be much happier to stay home. But she gets even crazier in this. She goes on now and tries to cover for what she said, but she doubles down on how smart she is and how dumb everybody else is. You have to listen to clips 2 and 3 together.
I'm not the first person to say something like this. Military commanders that we've had throughout many years here fighting this war on terrorism have said the exact same thing, that in the short term, when there's a threat like ISIL, we will take direct military action against these terrorists. We have done that. We are doing that in Iraq and in Syria. But longer term, we have to look at how we combat the conditions that can lead people to turn to extremism. We cannot kill every terrorist around the world, nor should we try. How do you get at the root causes of this? It might be too nuanced an argument for some, like I've seen over the past 24 hours, some of the commentary out there, but it's really the smart way that Democrats, Republicans, military commanders, our partners in the Arab world think we need to combat.
So she says, look it. Like an ordinary white trash can. Look it. I haven't heard that phrase since I stopped going to Coney Island's freak show.
Look it might be too nuanced an argument for some.
Look it. Look it. This is a college girl. Look it. It might be too nuanced for some. She's so much smarter than you are. You have no idea. She's so much smarter than you are. Look, it's too nuanced for you. So I looked into this dyed-in-the-wool lunatic, and I said she didn't come out of the blue. She wasn't created out of the air. Let's look at the spokesmouth's father and mother. The mother we can dismiss immediately. She's in the green energy business. So now you know the rest of that story. You didn't know that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all interconnected. She's the daughter of Jane Axe Harf of Granville, Ohio, who is in the green energy business. Don't you know? Oh, she's doing it to better the world. Sustainable energy. But the father is the real winner here. Because I couldn't understand how a lunatic like this, an uneducated moron like this, Marie Harf, could wind up being a State Department spokeswoman. And as I looked into it, I found out she had first been a spokesmouth for the CIA under Obama. They dug her up out of the foggy bottom tree of liberalism, and they put this dumb girl in charge of speaking for the CIA. This dummy spoke for the CIA. Now the dummy is speaking for the State Department, making America a bigger laughingstock than it is under Big Ears. So who is the father? Well, when you hear more about Harf's father, you'll see that he's a dyed-in-the-wool internationalist, a Jimmy Carter anti-Israelite. Oh, yeah, it's all connected. It's a continuation of Jimmy Carter. So who is the father? James E. Harf, Ph.D. James E. Harf, Ph.D. Well, he's a long bio, very distinguished. And he has many books, including recent ones called Taking Sides, Clashing Views on Global Issues. Now, that says it all. See, clashing views. There's no right or wrong to daddy's spokesmouth. There's no right or wrong to daddy smokestack, daddy smokesmouth, smoked fish, which addresses 22 global problems. He also wrote The Wise Traveler Abroad. Interesting. He is or was the executive director of the Consortium for International Studies Education. He also saw service on President Jimmy Carter's Commission on Foreign Language and International Studies, where he was responsible for undergraduate education recommendations. His international projects have included work with the Russian Academy of Sciences and government on educational initiatives. You get the picture. Dr. Harf brings to his classroom a lifetime of global research and travel. And then they give you the things he's done in his life that are so wonderful. And then you understand that he is a classic, dyed-in-the-wool internationalist from the Jimmy Carter School of Hate Israel education. So why am I talking about this idiot's mother and father? Why? Because that's why we're losing the war against radical Islam. It's because the mindset of these wobbly left-wing fanatics is why we see a president who will not say Muslim, will not say Islam, will not put the two together. In fact, today, as we are speaking today in the Savage Nation, this government of yours is holding a conference on radicalism and not mentioning the word Muslim. In fact, they had a Muslim give a chant, which we open with. All I can say is Marie Harf proves the adage that the liberal nut does not fall far from the nut tree. That's all I can say on that. And, of course, you're not nuanced enough. I'm not as smart as she or her father, and we don't have the nuance to understand what she's saying. And she says there are many military commanders that we've had over the years who agree with her. Military commanders? You mean of the type that can't win this war? The geldings that Obama has permitted to stay in the management department of the military? So let's go to clip four of Marie Harf now, and you'll get a little better understanding of this woman.
Well, I'm not sure I would take a mulligan on this one, but in the short term, and I said this on Hardball the other night, we are killing them, and we will continue killing ISIS terrorists that pose a threat to us. We're very good at that. But in the longer term, and this isn't specific to ISIL, military
command... I can't listen to the chick voice, number one. We're killing them? We're good at that? She already thinks in her stupid mind she's actually a military commander. I could just see her walking around the State Department with her hands on her hips. You know, you there with the uniform, what the four stars? What do you do around here? Can you get us a pizza, a vegan pizza, please? We want a vegan pizza in here. What are you, you're in Russia? I know we got four stars. You know I have picked you because the four stars mean you'll get the order right. Make it vegan, make it gluten-free, and that's what we want around here. You're one of the military commanders, the type we like here. This is what she thinks she is. This is why we're a laughingstock to the radical Islamists, who now have an army of 180,000 terrorists. They have an army of 180,000 terrorists. 180,000, not 30,000. The army has metastasized under Barack Hussein Obama. But why should I get excited about it? What can I do about it? What can I do about it when they take people like this and put them into positions to embarrass America? But now it gets even better. Last night, as I finished my show, the Drudge Report linked an article which said Obama is about to bring in 30,000 Syrian refugees. Now, who can vet 30,000 refugees from anywhere? You know what vet means, don't you? I don't know if Marie Harf knows that. It may be too nuanced a word for her. But in order to vet 30,000 refugees, you'd have to actually screen them. And I realize that that's a very nuanced statement, to screen an immigrant. But top U.S. counterterrorism officials say that they're worried that a potential terrorist could be hiding among refugees who are looking to come to the U.S. after escaping the brutal war in Syria. Now, of course, the terrorists themselves have said that they're going to sneak into Italy, posing as refugees, in order to take over regions of Italy. But that doesn't stop Barack Obama, who wants to flood our southern border with millions and millions and millions of illegal aliens from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua. He wants to bring as many in as Gutierrez wants him to bring in. Whatever Gutierrez wants, Obama does. Whatever Gutierrez says, Obama repeats. But Gutierrez wants millions of refugees from the Southlands, not vetted, by the way. So the question is, how could the State Department bring in so many refugees? Here's the answer. Larry Bartlett, who apparently looks like a Bartlett pear and thinks like a Bartlett pear, and that is how he got his job in the State Department as Director of Refugee Admission for the Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, said that one of the fundamental principles of our country is that we care about others. We will help others, and we must bring them in. It's not a matter of should we be bringing them in. It's really a matter of how we bring them all in, said Larry Bartlett Pear. And that's why I wrote a book in 2005, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. So if you care to call about this, 855-407-2282 is the phone number. At 30 minutes after the hour, we have old Donald Trump on. I don't know if he's old, but Donald Trump on. And we'll ask Donald a few questions about his run for the presidency, how he would conduct the war against terrorism, things of that nature. And while we're doing it, let's play a little music on the Savage Nation. We have, and a little chanting to go with it this time, and make sure the audience doesn't hear me yelling at you this time. I hope that didn't go out in the air when I screaming, where's the chanting? Did that go out, Robert? That went, of course. Every day is another miracle for me on the Savage Nation. Sound doesn't get played right, and then I yell for it, and then they play that instead of the sound. It's terrific. It's like the old days at MSNBC. All right, turn it off already. Let's take a couple of callers. 855-4. What did I play? Highway to Hell yet? Did we play that song or not? All right, play it. Let's play that one. 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. ISIL is on the march. Their blitzkrieg continues, executing Christians, Jews, Muslims, Yazidis. They're outdoing each other with regard to atrocities. I just received this memo from a man stationed in the Middle East who is telling me that it's getting worse, not better, under Obama. And it says that ISIL is almost indiscriminate in whom it executes. And they're trying to outdo each other in their disregard for life. And they say that such horror has an internal logic that leads groups to strive to outdo each other in inflicting and sensationalizing brutality, much like modern horror films, Harvey. The outrages will get worse because people quickly become inured to horror, and the increased barbarism is not having the terror effects ISIL leaders apparently seek. They warn us that readers should expect to see videos of still greater depravity in the name of Islam. They go on. ISIL was having success when it kept the civil war within Islam. Sunni versus Shia. Tolerant Sunni Islam versus radical fundamentalist Sunni Islam. But lately, some ISIL groups or leaders have chosen to expand the Muslim civil war before its outcome had been decided into a conflict against what they call Christianity. I'm reading now. In their ignorance, some ISIL leaders misunderstand that in attacking Christians, because they are Christians, they will metastasize the Muslim civil war into a struggle between a modern, technologically and overwhelmingly powerful civilization and a fatally flawed vision of a brutish 7th century culture. Did you hear what I just said to you? It's going to get much worse before it gets better. Far worse before it gets better. And it's getting this way because of Obama, primarily, his mentality, his vicious academic acolytes around him, such as Marie Harf, and the other girls in the sorority. I told you the country was being run by sorority girls. Clueless idiots who talk about military leaders like pizza delivery boys. It's the mentality we saw when Hillary Clinton became first lady. Do you remember that? Remember what they thought of the FBI? Remember what they called the FBI? Remember how they treated the military when Bill and Hillary Clinton ran America off the rails? You don't remember any of it. I remember everything. I'm like an elephant, but I'm not. I'm Michael Savage. Donald Trump with us when I come back right here on the Savage Nation. Talk about any topic you want.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Savage Nation. We're sitting here stunned by Obama's unwillingness to take the war to the enemy. Was stunned by the college girls and their idiotic rhetoric that they need jobs training in order to stop cutting heads off. Joining us now is a man I hope runs for the presidency, Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Donald, what are we going to do here? We got to win this war.
Well, I watched the young lady that you're talking about saying that we have to create a better economy and jobs for ISIS, and I thought it was one of the most unbelievable performances I've ever seen, that we have to create, we can't create jobs for ourselves. I mean, China's taking all our jobs, and Mexico's taking our jobs. Now we're supposed to go over there and create jobs in Syria and other places for these people, and that way they'll be much nicer, and they won't burn people at the stake, and they won't cut off heads. Incredible.
No, it's on any rational person, Democrat, Republican, anyone knows that this is idiotic.
Unbelievable.
But Donald, are you going to run, or you're not ready to announce?
The iceberg. I mean, it's so incompetent going on.
Donald Trump, are you willing to come out and say you're going to run for the presidency ever?
Well, what I'm doing is, I am telling you, I am looking so strong. I just hate what's happening to the country, and I love what I do. I'm loving it. I'm having such fun, and I love building buildings. I'm building on Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm building in Miami. I'm building all over, and it's so great, but I hate what's happening to the country. And I will tell you, I think you know this, I am looking at it very, very seriously, yes. And I would turn it around, and I would make this country so great again.
Well, here's the thing. We know, you know, how great you are as a businessman. I admire you greatly. I can't imagine what it must feel like to see buildings going up that you are basically the producer of, the builder, the contractor in that regard. None of those things. You're the genius who thinks about it, puts the deals together. You make things happen. And I can't imagine how hard it is managing to get all the elements together, the unions and the finance and the this and the zoning and the city. Complicated. So you've dealt with these complicated issues. And people say, look, he would be a good president, but he's not going to leave what he has because he's created such a world. Why would he leave that to take such a small job as the presidency? And that really is that's not an insignificant question, Donald.
Well, I think the answer is very simple. I love the country and I hate what's happening to the country and all of the things I do and all of the great buildings, whether it's the old post office on Pennsylvania Avenue or so many others that I've done and are doing. Everything that I've done doesn't mean anything if the country goes to hell. And the country right now is just a laughingstock. I mean, a lot of what you see, look at even the ceasefire. They do a ceasefire with Putin, and he takes it for about an hour, and then he starts blowing the hell out of, you know, Ukraine again. The whole thing is incredible. And look, that is a problem that Europe should be worried about more so than us. But we're supposed to be trying to help them, but they've turned out to be totally gutless. And that's
Donald, our troops, we have 280 Marines at an air base in northern Iraq that's surrounded by ISIS troops right now.
Right,
and I've been screaming for a week, why doesn't Obama, the great commander-in-chief, order airstrikes around the clock to destroy all of the ISIS troops that are around them? Why doesn't he bring in airborne troops, 10,000 of them, to protect them? What is going on there?
Inconceivable, and you may have a route. I'll bet you they would not mind showing something about, you know, those guys and women in some cases are sitting there, and they're just sitting ducks. And I would bet they would love nothing better than to wipe them out. And I'll bet that's what they're thinking about right now.
But why doesn't the president do something right now instead of having a meaningless conference on extremism where they won't even say Muslim and extremist in the same breath?
They won't even say it. That's right. Why doesn't he do it? Because he's not a leader, number one. He's not, in my opinion, he's not fit to be president. He's not competent. And in my opinion, it is just, and you know, it's easy to turn around. I'll give you another example that I never, this is one as a business guy. Like, so we're negotiating with Iran to get rid of the nukes, right? And which is so vitally important because once they have the nukes, it's a whole different ballgame. So we take off the sanctions instead of increasing the sanctions because they want them off. We won't negotiate unless you take off the. So we take off the sanctions. We take all the pressure off them, and now they're just tapping the ball down the line as they make, you know, as they do everything else, go through the process to come up with some nice nuclear weapons. Now, who would negotiate by taking off the pressure as opposed to applying more pressure? And you say to yourself, like, this is negotiation. I wrote The Art of the Deal. This is negotiation 101. Who would do this? So I look at that and I say, where are these people coming from? And then I watch this young lady with the glasses sitting on television and saying that we have to create economic development in Syria. And you know the other thing that's amazing? In Syria, we're bombing them, and yet we're totally enemies of Syria. And Assad is sitting back and saying, wow, this is the best thing that could have happened. Because
you know, Assad is suddenly our ally against ISIS, and the only reason ISIS is running rampant in parts of Syria is because we destroyed most of his military in those regions. They got everything ass-wise backwards. Donald, you're a big supporter of Israel, are you not?
I am.
Okay, I know that. So you've got one of the great leaders of our time, a war hero and a great leader, Netanyahu, coming to speak to a joint session of Congress. The president hates him because he's jealous of him, number one. And this is what shocks me. Donald, number one, do you support Netanyahu appearing before Congress?
I do. I think it's fine. I think it's great. I think he has no real, and I know him very well. You know, he asked me to do a commercial last time he ran. I was the only person that, in terms of celebrity, but he really wanted me to do a commercial, and I did, and he won. He was happy. The truth is, it's another voice. He's not getting anywhere with Obama. Obama, you know, I have many Jewish friends that support Obama, and I say, why? And they can't.
Yeah.
They can't explain why. They support him. They give him money. They give him campaign contributions. And
why?
This is the worst enemy of Israel. This is the worst enemy of Israel.
How could Jewish people give money to this man who may as well be working for the Muslim Brotherhood in terms of Israel?
Yeah. Well, when he comes and does his speech, I think for him it's good. I think it's going to end up being good because he's going to explain what's going on, and he's going to be emphasizing what's going on with Iran. They're sitting back tapping us along, and I know dealmakers that do that. They tap you, while they're working behind your back to try and do something that is not good. So, you know, I understand the game better than anybody, and when I saw the sanctions being taken off Iran, it was incredible. Now, you know, you look at what's going on, and when you look at, and Michael, when I see what's happening in Syria, where we hate Syria, but we're helping Syria by attacking the enemy, maybe we should attack ISIS every place but Syria. Let Syria beat ISIS. Let ISIS
yes.
probably win, and then after they win, we knock the hell out of them. I mean, you know, the problem is we are checker players in this country, and we're playing against great chess players. And, you know, you're not going to win.
Yes, and I've look, Donald, I've said for years on this show, never underestimate the Bedouin's mind. We're dealing with people who have been at war for a thousand years. Their entire culture is built about around warfare. They're a warrior people, and they're outthinking these children that Obama's hiring from America's worst colleges. Today she got up, this nutcase with the glasses, and she doubled down on her statement. She said, I guess people are too dumb to understand what I said, but she used a higher class version of that. She said, I guess what I said was too nuanced.
I know. I heard her.
You heard that? She's too new. She was too nuanced for us. You hear this one?
She's being cute. She's trying to be cute and little.
But she's the face of America now,
I know.
Donald. So getting back to politics, just for a minute or two, I don't know if you want to talk about it. I don't want to put you on the spot, although I'm not afraid to put you on the spot because nobody ever has been able to do so for very long. But I'll try to ask a question that everybody wants to know. I personally think Jeb Bush is unelectable. What do you think? Can Hillary beat him? Would Hillary beat who can beat Hillary Clinton is the only question there is, right?
I would say Trump. I would say that Jeb Bush is not going to win. I would think that many are not going to win. Now, I'm not just going by polls. I'm just going by instinct. I think she will not be easy to beat. I actually feel that Obama would have been easier if Mitt Romney didn't choke, and he choked like a dog. And I've seen it in sports, and I've seen it in life. Some people, you know, they're choke artists. They can never get to the finish line. When Mitt Romney didn't finish off that campaign, because in the last month he should have won that campaign instead of sitting in his house for 4 weeks and doing nothing, and then doing horribly in that third debate by not even responding to some basic questions.
He beat Obama up in the first debate. Obama looked like a dummy. He was just ridiculously beaten. And I believe that Mitt Romney then threw the next two debates, but that's my own conspiracy theory. So you feel, look, I know you're a friend of Hillary Clinton and you respect her. There's no question about that. I mean, you're a man at a high level, so obviously you meet all these people. But could you beat her in debates?
I believe I could. I mean, I think I have the goods because, you know, if you look at it, I mean, who? Okay, you take Secretary of State. Who was worse? Are you able to name one that was worse?
No, she destroyed the entire Arab Crescent by introducing the Arab Spring. Look what she has wrought in the world.
Right. She's got a lot of problems, but right now she doesn't have problems because right now she'd love to run against Jeb Bush.
Yeah, because Jeb Bush is like a Joe Palooka doll that I bought when I was a kid in Queens, the type that you would hit in your living room, and it would always bounce back, you know, made of like a plastic substance.
Right. Well,
remember those? Did you get one of those on the other side of Union Turnpike? Were you allowed to have that as a kid?
Turnpike. I loved Union Turnpike. That's right. We used to have the little stores there and that have all sorts of games like that. That's true.
You know, people don't know it. You lived on the good side of the tracks, and I lived on the poorer side of Union Turnpike. It's amazing.
It was a nice section of Queens, but both sides were good. You know, in those days, both sides were good, Frank.
That's right. There was no such thing as a bad area over there in those days, and the police ruled that area very well, because any of my friends got out of line, you know what the cops did with them, don't you? They didn't let them get away with it for too long.
Very little.
Donald Trump, look, I really hope that you run. I mean, I don't know, you know, what you're really going to do, and people say he just wants publicity. I hear all of this crap. I don't believe it. You know and I know you can build all your buildings, and if we let these barbaric monsters get any more traction in this world, those buildings might come down with the rest of America. And we need someone like you to make sure that your buildings last for a very long time, Donald.
Well, I appreciate it. And I do love the country. And I am giving it very, very serious consideration. And I may surprise a lot of people. And if I do it, I'll do well. And I'll tell you one thing. Making this country great again, it won't even be that difficult. Because the potential in this country is enormous.
All we need is a leader, Donald. We're dying for someone to get up and talk about America the way it is, not the way Obama sees it as. Obama sees us through a flawed eye. He doesn't like this country. That's apparent to anybody with an IQ above 90.
Well, there are certainly problems, and we certainly don't have leadership. And if it is leadership, it's leading us in the wrong direction, Michael, and you know that probably better than anybody.
Well, I hope to see you in Florida one of these days. You know, I haven't gotten there once this winter. Would you believe it?
Get there. It's a great place and a great state, and I hope you get there.
I love Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump, run for the presidency.
Thank
we really need it. Thank you very much for being with us on The Savage Nation. It is 46 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We're talking about all the news of the day. When I come back, we'll go to the news, views, and reviews that I'm famous for right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
This is not just a threat in one place. If you look at the Lord's Resistance Army and Kony, Joseph Kony, I don't remember people talking about that as much anymore, but that's a Christian militant group. So there are a lot of different extremist threats we face, and there are different tools we have to go after each one of them. It might be too nuanced an argument for some.
You know, I have noise cancellation headphones on my neck, and I'm getting them ready to be used the next time either Obama speaks or Marie Harf or... frankly, any Democrat that speaks, I put on my noise cancellation headphones. One of my family members gave them to me on the way back from L.A. because they know how sensitive I am to stupidity. The hum of the jet engines is one thing, but having to listen to anyone in another seat talk is beyond me, my capacity. It's why I don't travel. I can't listen to people talk. The idiocy level in America is beyond belief. I guess it's too nuanced for me. I guess the average American is far too nuanced for me, Michael Savage, and I need my noise cancellation headphones wherever I go now. This is Unprotected Talk, where when I call your number, you give us your name, your station, your topic. Let us begin. Let us begin with line number three. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation 3.
Hey, WMAL, this is Gito, and my topic is the encyclical on capital and labor written by Pope Leo XIII that you quoted in the war on the middle class in your new book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I just wanted to start by saying that you are absolutely right how this liberation theology that's being taught in the Catholic Church is causing the tide of socialism to tip in the favor of the socialists here in this country, because there are so many Catholics that I know personally, especially of the Hispanic descent, that just hang on every word that Pope Francis says and does. And the significance of this is that the church and state is merging together along with corporations.
That's right, and he should absolutely be forbidden from speaking to Congress. I'm sorry. I thought that the liberals warned us every day about the separation of church and state, and now they're applauding the arrival of the Pope next October to speak to Congress. How is that possible? Because he's not a religious figure. He's a political figure.
Absolutely. He has no business talking to anyone in our Congress at all.
Not at all. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear him lecturing me on global warming, of which he knows nothing, or about open borders, which he certainly knows a lot about. Why doesn't he open the Vatican to all the immigrants from Africa and such places that want to come in? Why doesn't he disperse some of the wealth of the Vatican if he's so interested in fairness and equality? Why doesn't he sell off some of the great art that the Vatican holds if he's interested in fairness and equality? What is he coming here and telling me to pay higher taxes? Why is he coming here and telling me that this country should be more open to illegal immigrants?
And a church without borders? Hello, borders, language, and culture. We have a sovereign nation here.
Well, the Vatican City is a city, isn't it? Isn't there a Vatican City with its own rules and its own borders? Why doesn't he erase the borders of Vatican City and open it up to the peasant masses? And we'll see how benevolent he really is. I hope not to offend any good Catholics out there, but I truly believe in the separation of church and state. And that goes for all religions.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The president, his entire life, his whole influence has been Islam. His mother was married to a Muslim. His father's a Muslim. Then she married a man from Indonesia. He was raised in Indonesia, went to Islamic schools. I assume she was a Muslim. So his whole life, his experiences have been surrounded by Islam. He only knows Islam. And he's given a pass to Islam. He's refusing to accept and understand the evil that is in front of him.
Yeah, and President Hussein Obama's taking us there. That was the great Reverend Graham saying that the president, his entire life, blah, 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 married to Muslim, 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 Muslim. And now, of course, the Muslim president, I mean the president of the United States, writes an op-ed for the LA Times and says extremists have legitimate grievances. Now, that would be like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, instead of declaring war on Germany, saying that the Nazis have legitimate grievances. The Nazis have legitimate grievances. And the only reason they're killing Jews and Christians and throwing them into gas chambers and taking one country after another is because the Germans need Lebensraum. And so I guess we haven't had an equivalent word yet for Muslim grievances and breathing space. I suppose somewhere in the Arabic there is a phrase for breathing space. Lebensraum must be somewhere in the Arabic. And so here's the president who sits out a unity march in France and then writes an op-ed saying that they have legitimate grievances. So here's what Twitchy has, people are saying on Twitchy. What? Exactly what does POTUS mean by legitimate grievances? And he says, efforts to counter violent extremism will only succeed if citizens can address legitimate grievances through the democratic process and express themselves through strong civil societies. Well, Mr. Obama, the citizenry in this country have legitimate grievances about your open borders policy, for example, and all of your many other policies. And we've tried to use the democratic process, Mr. Obama. And we've expressed ourselves through strong civil methods, Mr. Obama. And you have spit on them! You double-talking fraud, you! So now he has sympathy for them. Now he has sympathy for their grievances. Did the Tsarnaev brothers have legitimate grievances? ISIS adherents have legitimate grievances? But Republicans can drop dead? Is that what the president's saying? People who want the border secured don't have legitimate grievances, but ISIS does? Here's another one, writes this. Apparently, jihadis have had legitimate grievances for the last 1,400 years. When will their grievances be satisfied? You hear this one? And then another one says, before you behead me, can you please fill out this form explaining legitimate grievances? Thanks. Another one writes, can you ask Josh Ernest what Obama means by ISIS or Boko Haram having legitimate grievances? Huh? No one has the answer to that. And then someone writes this, Boko Haram and ISIS have legitimate grievances, but according to Obama, it's those damn teabaggers who are terrorists. So what can I say to you? You know, the Germans thought that they had legitimate grievances. The Japanese thought they had legitimate grievances when they invaded Manchuria for the oil. And the American people understood through their president that maybe it wasn't a legitimate grievance and there was a time for war. Because even the Bible writes, there's a time for peace and a time for war, a time for love and a time for hate, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to stand up and a time to lie down, a time for dancing and a time for sadness. Bible had it right. So what are these legitimate grievances of subhumans who shoot 13-year-old kids for watching soccer and rape 6-year-old girls? This is what the president says. Is he stupid or is he just an apologist for radical Islam? I don't believe Obama's stupid by any means. I think he's an apologist for radical Islam. How could Nigerian girls who are being kidnapped and raped and sold as slaves be any a representation of a legitimate grievance by Boko Haram? Yes, my friends, there's only one way to defeat ISIS, and that is for the emperor to let them air the legitimate grievances, perhaps on the White House lawn. Let's pray that day never comes. And now it's time for the part of the show that everyone loves the most, which is callers on the Savage Nation. 855-407-2822. I promise you only one thing. When I call your number, you'll give me your name, station, topic, and I will wear my sound suppression headphones. And so I will not hear a word that you... Okay, line number three, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. My name is Tim, and I'm listening from WABC, and the topic is, can Dreamers, the Dreamers that Obama let in, can they get drafted?
Can they get drafted? I don't think so. Then are they citizens?
Going around, and nobody could give me a straight answer on that one.
I don't know. They get a bonus for becoming an American. They get money back, even though they didn't put any money in. They get money back immediately. But I think they're immune to the draft, because there is no draft.
You have to sign up for selective service, and if the war...
No, there is no draft right now. Where's the draft? There is no draft. It's an all-volunteer army, isn't it?
Right, but I had to sign up when I was of that age, and people...
Yeah, but that was when the selective service was drafting people.
Well, they're not good. Well, I just thought maybe if you had to sign up for selective service, that they might have to sign up for selective service.
Well, maybe if they were given an opportunity to become a citizen by first serving in the military, more people would accept the Dreamers as citizens. We would know that they're committed to America. They're going to go through a rigorous training and put their bodies on the line for the country. Then people may not complain about them as much as they are right now.
Okay, well, I was just...
All right. Oh, here's some good news. Admiral John Kirby has resigned as Pentagon spokesmouth as Ashton Carter takes over the Pentagon. You may remember Admiral John Kirby. He is the public relations man in a military uniform who constantly apologized for Islam and the president. We don't know where John Kirby will go from here. We assume he will be given a job at MSNBC where he'd fit in very, very nicely, with or without a uniform. 855-400-7282. Obama has just said that immigrants refuse to be stopped by a court decision. Both the White House and illegal immigrants said today that they would not be swayed by a federal judge's decision in Texas halting Obama's deportation amnesty, and they're going to do what they want anyway. Well, I guess we'll have to think about that one for a while. Marie Hoff doubled down on her jobs for terrorist statement. The Dolt said maybe her view is too nuanced for some. Did you hear the too nuanced thing, Robert? Give him the too nuanced thing.
It might be too nuanced an argument for some.
How does anyone raise a child like this without embarrassment? Why was she not sent to school on the small school bus? How did she wind up being a spokesman for the CIA and then a spokesman for the State Department? How does she continue to even speak without curling up in a ball on the side of a room in embarrassment when the whole world is laughing at her? How? How? Because the entire administration is filled with a circus of individuals like this. A circus of... It reminds me of Todd Brown's Freaks. And I'm not putting freaks down. I never met a freak I didn't like. They were generally nice people. In fact, I have known people who were freaks of nature. That's all. They're people inside. I get it. But they call themselves freaks in those days. Today, you can't call them freaks. Everyone's the same. If you're born with five heads, you're not a freak. I remember going to the freak show at Coney Island. It was quite entertaining, frankly. Say, well, oh, that was mean. Well, no, the freaks liked it. They didn't find it mean. They made a good living. And boy freaks met girl freaks. They had sex. They got married. I mean, sometimes they did. That's how they met each other. Birds of a feather flock together. But today, with the multiculturalism, there's no such thing as anyone standing out anymore. Everyone's supposed to be exactly the same in Obama's Maoist vision of America. All blue uniforms with little red stars are coming soon. Not. Line number five, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, my name is Adam, KSFO, and I had four questions that the AP should be asking of Ms. Hart. One of them was, is the idea to make the U.S. a complete laughing stock in the eyes of the world? The other one was really, have we not already given ISIS a job? Which is basically...
What is ISIS's job? To cut off heads?
Exactly. We've already given them that job. We funded...
Yeah, well, that's their number one job, is killing people. Okay, question three?
Question three was, what job would you propose for people that like to headlop? Is it... Is the U.S. bringing back the guillotine? Or planning to institute the guillotine? I just wonder.
Interesting. Well, no, they're anti-death penalty, so I don't think that would fly. And four?
Okay, and four was... I just wonder what message this is for the unemployed of America. Do they have to join ISIS in order to get a job?
Oh, God, that's terrible. Oh, my God. Bakers wanted. I guess they need bakers to make pita bread for them in the desert in the middle of all that head cutting. You know, it's exhausting. They've got to build up the carbs for some of that glucose, the glycogen. They need the glycogen stores rebuilt, and they need some good pita in between the head cuttings. It's a busy job, and there's a lot of heads to cut.
Exactly.
So maybe you're a baker who could join ISIS. We don't know.
Yeah,
you know, there was a time during World War II when the people were so unified. I wasn't around then. I was a baby. But I remember reading that some people made up toilet paper with Hitler's face on it, with his mouth open, with his tongue out. Did you ever read about that?
I didn't.
Well, why don't we make some toilet paper rolls in America with the faces of ISIS on it? And they could come with different faces. In other words, really identify our enemies as they are. Toilet paper with their faces on it, with their mouths open and their tongues sticking out. Wouldn't that identify them as the Islamo-fascists that they are?
I think your idea about the dropping, many months ago, dropping pornography in bottles of whiskey, I think was probably a very good idea. But
well, now that's an interesting thing. Yeah, my way to end terrorism was to drop little airline bottles of booze, since they don't drink, and magazines, porn magazines on them.
The U.S.
You know, maybe they would just masturbate in the desert instead of killing people.
Well, maybe the U.S., instead of creating jobs, should actually start a dating agency for us.
Yeah, well, there's another way to look. I understand that they're desperate to get their hands on Viagra. This is an actual true story, because they have so much raping to do, and so many of them are sexually dysfunctional, that they need a chemical enhancement in order to rape 9-year-old girls of another race and religion. And we need to help them with that. Maybe Obama can start a program of dropping, cargo planes filled with Viagra for them. You know, I mean, you know what? Think about that. I mean, when you think about it, that may be one of their legitimate grievances, that they're impotent. And as you well know, there's a connection between impotence and rage. And it could be that if we dropped cargo planes filled with Viagra in the desert, and they felt like men, they may not cut off as many heads or kill as many children.
That could well be the answer.
That could be the answer, and I thank you very much for that call. Yes, sarcasm rules in the Savage Nation. Always bold, always winning. Michael Savage, champion for America's borders, language, and culture. Phone number 855-407-282. If you can't have a little sarcasm, if you can't have a little satire, then you may as well live in the radical Islamist's world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. We're trying to have this song translated into the Arabic so it can become the official marching song of the ISIS jihadists. We understand if it can be translated into the Arabic and a stringed instrument put behind it, this could be the equivalent of the Horst Wessel song for ISIS. Because the article on Breitbart says Syrian doctors are claiming ISIS jihadists are demanding Viagra and lingerie for wives and slaves. Now, you would think that the women in America, who are so obsessed with evil Republicans, would be concerned that ISIS fighters are buying their wives kinky underwear, demanding Viagra to better their performance, and subjecting their wives and sex slaves to sadistic sexual practices, according to Syrian doctors forced to treat jihadists in conquered territories, by Dr. Phyllis Chesler on Breitbart. The Daily Mail reports that doctors have been able to relay their witness testimonies through the advocacy group Raqqa is being slaughtered silently. And you see, doctors are forced to treat wounded jihadists returning from the front lines. And what they want is sex, 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 and more sex. And they're obsessed with a desire to have as many orgasms as possible. Now, they have many captive brides that they've gotten from Christian communities and Azidi communities. They beat them up for failing to cover even their eyes. The girls are prohibited from attending school, you know, in the Islamist way. This is, of course, what Sharia tells them to do. They're shrouded in black body bags, and yet they're expected to become prostitutes in order to please their psychopathic, demanding, so-called husbands or slaveholders. Now, how many of women are there like this? The women subjected to such torture range from the hundreds of known Yazidi girls and women forced to live as sex slaves to Western Muslim converts traveling to Syria and Iraq to fulfill the work of a jihad bride. So all of the ugliest girls in your community who can't find a man at your local community college are now streaming into Syria to finally get some. What they don't know what's waiting for them, though, is wearing a body bag that covers even their eyes and being forced to live as a slave. But they'll find out soon enough how evil America was. More from the story, we learn that jihadists from bin Laden on have developed a reputation for being pornography addicts. And they're learning tricks from pornography. And they're using child pornography and sadistic adult porn in their imaginary wanderings through the land of the conquered. And so, she writes, a devil's host of angry men, losers, porn addicts, ex-cons, now have an outlet to express their sadism towards women. And they're joining the ranks of ISIS, not only to bring about a potential caliphate or to express their hatred towards infidel ways, but also to achieve paradise now. She writes, instead of having to become human homicide bombs in order to merit 72 eternal heavenly virgins, ISIS fighters can have an endless number of virgins right here on Earth. They can treat the Madonna as the Magdalene, as a form of revenge against Christianity. They can treat tender virgin Muslim girls as whores, and no one can stop them. They have paid good money for their Muslim brides. They have no roots in the neighborhood, and thus there is no extended family with whom the bride's family can negotiate. Joining ISIS might be the best deal in town for sex maniacs and the sexually mad. All praise to President al-Sisi for bombing ISIS while our president leads with his behind.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we're in luck, boys and girls. President Obama is speaking at the summit on countering violent extremism, refusing to mention Islam and terrorism in the speech. Let's tune in and be flies on the wall. Let's listen.
Online.
Is he
we
speaking?
We also need to lift up the voices of those who know the hypocrisy of groups like ISIL firsthand, including former extremists.
Extremists?
Their words speak to us today. And I know in some of the discussions these voices have been raised. I witnessed horrible crimes committed by ISIS.
Really?
It's not a revolution or jihad, it's a slaughter. I was shocked by what I did.
What?
This isn't what we came for, to kill other Muslims. I'm 28.
Muslim.
Is this the only future I'm able to imagine?
Oh, poor boy. You mean he was able to kill Christians with impunity? I see.
So many who...
His heart was broken over having to kill other Muslims.
And then saw
Muslims. Is it Muslim or Muslim? I don't know. I don't want to insult anybody. Some people say Muslim. I don't know if it's Muslim or Muslim. Put the president back on. I'm trying to listen to him here. Is he speaking or not?
Lift up those voices. And in all this work, the greatest resource
here we go.
Are communities themselves.
Here we go. Job
especially
training.
Like those young people who are here today. We are joined by talented young men and women who are pioneering
good
new
Americans
and new social media tools.
Well, a serrated knife is
young people.
Certainly not the way to cut a neck.
We're joined by leaders from the private sector, including high-tech companies who want to support your efforts.
Well, a knife that's less serrated would cut faster, that's true.
To build new partnerships that unleash the talents and creativity of young people.
Well, if you're going to decapitate
Muslims,
a Christian, would you use a serrated knife left over from a place that makes shawarma?
Lift up people's lives here in America and around the world.
You need a sharp knife, like a Wusthof.
For your generation.
So if they could make a knife factory for the terrorists, there's the entrepreneurship that we need.
We've got to discredit these ideologies. We have to.
Oh yeah, just discredit. They're going to really be embarrassed out of there.
Shy away from these discussions.
Yeah. Does he believe this crap?
Folks are.
Could you make it louder? I think I'm going deep here. I can hardly hear him.
Addressing some of these root issues, but we have to talk about them.
Root issues,
honestly,
root.
And clearly.
Well, it's the root vegetables that did it. Oh, Citizen Kane.
Because and the reason I believe we have to do so is because I'm so confident that when the truth is out, we'll be successful.
Oh, he's really out of it. This guy is not that smart. Is he still
speaking?
The second
challenge is we do have to address the grievances that terrorists express.
Oh!
Including economic grievances.
Oh, my God. There he goes, Marie Hoft with pants.
Poverty alone does not cause a person to become a terrorist.
No kidding, Sherlock.
Any more than poverty alone causes somebody to become a criminal. There are millions of people.
How long did it take him to figure that out?
Millions of people in the world who live in abject poverty and are focused on what they can do to build
up their own lives. Boy, you're a smart guy, man. You're really learning after 6 years. You figured that one out.
Conversely, there are terrorists who come from extraordinarily wealthy
backgrounds. So what's the answer? You just said the truth now. Now you're going to twist it now. Give us the pretzel view.
What's true, though, is that when millions of people, especially youth, are impoverished and have no hope for the future.
Wait a minute.
When corruption inflicts daily humiliations on
you. You mean like your administration?
When there are no
outlets. Like your corrupt Democrat machine with Feinstein here and Pelosi? You mean that kind of corruption?
Resentments fester.
Yes, resentments fester.
The risk of instability and extremism grow.
Yes, as it does here with you.
Where young people have no education. They are more vulnerable.
When they're learning garbage from you.
Radical ideas. Because it's not tested against
radical ideas like the founding fathers.
Nothing to weigh. And we've seen this across the Middle East and North Africa.
All right, so now let's see how we just reconstructed and deconstructed the deconstruction. First, Doofus says that just because you're poor doesn't mean you'll become a terrorist. He got that right. It took him 6 years in the presidency to figure that one out. They said, hey, stop repeating that it's economic only. You have to. All right. Now he figured out how to nuance that one and say, well, if you're poor and you have no hope, then you go and cut people's heads off and you enslave children. That's how he just justified their killing and raping spree. Turn it back up. I'm having a good time now.
So if we're going to prevent people from being susceptible to the false promises of extremism, then the international community has to offer something better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, here we go.
The United States intends to do its part. We will keep promoting development and growth that is broadly shared.
Yeah, we've done a great job in Detroit with that one.
We'll keep leading a global effort against corruption because the culture of the bribe has to be replaced by good governance that doesn't favor certain groups
for ISIS
over others.
The truck factories.
Countries have to truly invest in the education and skills and job training.
Can you believe this liberal rubbish that this man is rattling on about? If only the Nazi youth were educated properly, they wouldn't have killed Jews in the concentration camp.
Successful if half their populations, if their girls and their women are denied opportunity.
Oh, this guy's a lunatic. He's really a schmuck. This is the schmuckiest president in history. Does he actually believe this crap? I don't even think he's a double agent. I think
America
he's just stupid.
Will continue to forge new
I think he's just a dumb college president.
Innovation and science and technology.
A moron.
So young people from Morocco
science.
And Malaysia can start new.
How can they learn science if they don't read?
Now, just as we address economic grievances, we need to face a
this
third
guy
challenge.
Is really
and that's addressing
loser.
The political grievances that
all
are
right. Well, I'll play it a little bit more because I've never had such fun in my life.
When governments oppress their people, deny human rights, stifle dissent, or marginalize ethnic and religious groups.
Oh, you mean like Christians are marginalized by you, Hussein, huh?
Others, it sows the seeds of extremism and violence.
No kidding.
Those communities more
no
vulnerable.
No kidding. You mean when you tell us to drop dead, those of us who want the laws followed?
Claim that change can only come through violence.
President Zero is getting a big zero on this essay.
That plays into.
You know, if this guy was a student in my class and he was lecturing on countering violent extremism, I'd give him an F and send him back 3 grades. I say, look, Junior, come here for a minute. We're talking about extremism, terrorism, killing, murdering, raping. Stop talking about a jobs program. LBJ is dead, okay? Zero, you're out of school. Go learn something before you come back to school. The guy's an idiot. I mean, he really may be stupid, but, you know, stupid people can be very dangerous as well. This guy could just be an idealistic left-wing fanatic who doesn't even know the world he's living in. How could he know the world if he gets to fly an Air Force One for a golf expedition over the weekend while Christians are having their heads cut off and comes back and lectures this crap about countering violent extremism with jobs and an opportunity? Let me hear another minute of it before I blow a vein.
Protect individuals from falling victim to extremist ideologies.
What a schmendrick.
To be honest with ourselves, terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIL deliberately target their propaganda in the hopes of reaching and brainwashing young Muslims.
You mean like you do here in America,
especially
and brainwashing
those who may be
the idiots?
Disillusioned or wrestling with their identity.
You mean like in Ferguson, Missouri, the way you try to brainwash them that all white cops are bad?
Videos, the online magazines, the use of social media.
Your online magazines, huh? All cops are bad, and all minorities are good. You liar, you! You double-talking demagogue, you!
And by the way, the older people here, as wise and respected as you may be, your stuff is often boring compared to what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Yay, brilliant man. Give him a Nobel for that one,
You're
Nobel.
You're not connected.
Give him a Pulitzer and a Nobel together.
You are not connecting.
It's called a schnitzer.
So these terrorists are a threat, first and foremost, to the communities that they target.
Oh, to Muslims again. The Muslims are in greater danger than everyone else. Yeah, here we go again.
It's true here in America as it's true anywhere else.
Here we go again.
When
get out the violin.
Starts getting radicalized. Family and friends are often the first to see that.
Okay, right. And what should they do about it? Turn him into the FBI.
Student becoming.
But then the FBI would reject that and say that it's racial profiling, even though it's from a Muslim family. That's how you gelded them.
Make a difference.
All right. You want me to do this more or not?
Someone's beginning to espouse violence.
Does anyone out there want me to continue ridiculing the president because you can't and I can?
For possible intervention.
My dog is asleep here at the bed next to the show. Teddy went to sleep. He's so bored. Obama just put my dog to sleep. It's so bad. I'll give him another minute to see if he says anything about Muslim terrorism.
In a way that's more consistent with peace and justice.
Is he getting more boring as he gets older?
Families and friends, coworkers, neighbors, faith leaders. They want to reach out. They want to help save their loved ones and friends and prevent them from...
This is a leader in a war?
Taking a wrong turn. But
this guy is really out of it.
Communities don't always know the signs to look for or have the tools to intervene.
Oh, the signs to look
for. Know
what
works best.
You've got to be a genius to figure out when your son's going to become a murderer.
Can play a role if government is serving as a trusted partner.
Oh, trusted partner. I see. We're not doing enough.
And that's where we also need to be honest. I know some Muslim Americans have concerns about working with government.
Oh, because it's such an evil government. You know, we like the greenbacks.
And the reluctance
we like the
is
welfare,
rooted in the objection.
But we don't like the government. We'll take the check, but not the government.
Muslim Americans feel they've been unfairly targeted.
Oh, get out the violins now.
So in our work,
poor Muslim Americans,
sure
so unfairly treated.
Abuses stop, are not repeated, that we do not stigmatize entire communities.
Here we go again. It's
nobody
all about Muslims' grievances.
Or put under a cloud of suspicion simply
we saw this
of their
was
faith.
Coming. Okay. An apologist for ISIL, an apologist for the Muslims who won't turn in the ISIS, and ISIL sympathizes amongst them. Again, a cover-up job from top to bottom. Go ahead, play a little bit more. See if I can really get a stroke here.
Dealing with them solely through the prism of law enforcement.
Oh, that's no good. No law enforcement.
Because when we do, that only reinforces suspicions.
Right. Well, especially white policemen are no good, and white FBI agents have to be purged. I see the answer where he's going.
The
FBI should be replaced by a Muslim director and only Muslim agents, and then they'll trust you.
And raise awareness so more communities.
So bring in some Syrians and make them FBI agents. They can become FBI agents instantly without a background check the way you became president. What an audience. They're very enthusiastic.
Communities are going to have to step up.
Is this guy, what is he doing here? And I'm listening to him like an idiot. Why am I listening to him?
Programs that have been discussed at this summit already in Los Angeles.
You know, I feel like I'm in a boring academic lecture by a dumb college professor who I'd walk out on.
That bring people together in a spirit of mutual
respect. Why do people throw shoes at a teacher like this?
More dialogue and more trust and more
dialogue with ISIS. I see that. Hey, that's a great YouTube piece called Dialogue with ISIS. How would that work?
The people who
How about
are most
putting them on their knees with their hands behind their back and cutting their ugly, disgusting, filthy, hellish heads off? That's the only dialogue they'll understand. I better take a break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. The genius Obama is speaking at a summit on countering violent extremism. Let's be a fly on the wall and tune in.
Challenges, and we'll overcome the ones that we face today.
Very enthusiastic.
We will
about
stay
that
united one. And committed to the ideals that have shaped
us
for more than two centuries.
Do you hear the lack of passion here?
including the opportunity and justice.
He's like a boring college teacher. He should be evaluated for medical problems.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Oh, hey, another Nobel in the making right here. Jobs are the answer. Camel flipping, camel burger flipping, knife factories. The end of the speech, you missed it. He said they're killing Muslims over there. It's those damn Zoroastrians you boys are supposed to be going after, not the Muslims. That's right. That's the only answer. Okay, you got to remember, you don't kill Muslims in your rampages. What you do is you go after those Zoroastrians. They're the real problems out there in the Middle East. There it is. That's the enthusiastic president that we need in the war against ISIS that now has 280,000 extremist maniac rapists in their ranks. And this one talks about jobs and hopelessness. I thought it was like LBJ on Valium. This was like a classic speech from Lyndon Baines Johnson about what the Great Society would do for America without the passion or intelligence or verve of LBJ. This was like a bad college teacher at a junior college in the outskirts of Chicago knocking off an LBJ speech from the early 60s, how the only way to defeat terrorism is the way we defeated crime in America, which is through jobs and payoffs and turning them into acorn workers or something like that. Okay, you heard it first on the Savage Nation. In other words, the only way to counter violent extremism is the opposite of what he just said. Everything he just said is useless. Eliminate it. You know, I don't know whether to feel more relieved now that I know he's just stupid and not really an Islamist. On one hand, yesterday I was pretty sure he was an Islamist plant out to undermine America. But listening to him speak just now, I just think he's a dummy who got this far because of, I'm sorry to tell you, let's say he was pushed ahead for reasons other than his intelligence. I'll put it in those terms. From the cradle through the presidency, he was selected and pushed ahead for reasons other than his intelligence. He had a great booming voice. He's a tall, slim, good-looking guy. And so they figured, all right, push him ahead, push him ahead. The next thing he knows, he's president, but he still doesn't know what he's talking about. So now that I know he's actually just stupid and way beyond his knowledge, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know anything about the real world. He has lived in an insulated bubble his whole life. So I said, okay, thank God he isn't a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's just stupid. He's just a classic stupid academic. So I don't know whether we're in more trouble or less now. That's the problem. It's left me in a weird place. In other words, if there was definitive proof that he was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and a double agent, I don't know whether I'd feel better or worse now knowing he's just a dumb college teacher who got lucky and got pushed ahead by a big machine. I don't know. I don't know what to feel now. I have to think about this tonight. My dreams will have to direct me as to whether I feel more threatened or less threatened now that I know he's just a dumb college teacher who got this far for reasons other than his intelligence. That's actually not a bad shtick I just did. If it was a live performance, it might be very popular. Unfortunately, it isn't. It's a radio talk show. It's called The Savage Nation. And if you enjoy what you're listening to, then you are by definition a member of The Savage Nation. If, on the other hand, you don't like what I'm saying, then you're a dumb idiot, stupider than the president. And you shouldn't even have the right to vote if you're that stupid. Okay, well, I've expressed myself as thoroughly as I possibly can. That opens up one line on the right side of my right ear. At 855-400-7, we have only one open line. I don't have time to take any calls right now, and I know some stations leave us at this junction in the three-hour program, while hundreds of others stay put for every second of the Savage Nation, where the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage will both entertain and rile you from the beginning to the end. Just ask Robert Borowski, the board operator, and poor Jim Verde. Jim has nothing to do now that there's no call screening. No, they all prepare the show. He's just laughing. And, of course, Doug up in Oregon. And I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We must never accept the premise that they put forward, because it is a lie. Nor should we grant these terrorists the religious legitimacy that they seek. They are not religious leaders, they're terrorists. No religion is responsible for terrorism. People are responsible for violence and terrorism.
Hey, it's hour number three on the Savage Nation. All you dummies out there, you get the kind of leadership you deserve. You deserve it. All you good liberals out there who said, just give everyone a chance. People have been kept down. Move them ahead of everybody else. Give them something they didn't earn. Give them a scholarship they didn't earn. Give them a position at Harvard they didn't earn. Give them a presidency he really didn't earn. Because it's unfair that he didn't earn it. Yeah. So I don't know whether to feel better or worse this hour. I'm still sorting through it. President Dumbo spoke at a terrorism extremist conference about an hour ago, during which President Dumbo said things that I would have heard like a boiled down, meek interpretation of LBJ's plans for a great society, that if only we give them jobs and job training and hope, will terrorism cease on the planet. Now, that, of course, shows an amnesia for the history of Islam, because Islam has been at war with the world for 1,400 years. That's a fact. Didn't make it up. Not racist, not sexist, not homophobic. It's not fattening. It's true. It's not illegal, it's not immoral, it's not fattening, it's not racist, it's true. Islam has been at war with the world for 1,400 years. It is the most intolerant of all of the world's religions, especially the virulent Salafist view of Islam that is currently plaguing the planet. Now, for the president to not even understand the history of his own religion, or his father's religion, if you want to put it that way, is very worrisome. Because those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. And I certainly don't want to see history repeating itself, because mark my words, the Western world will not tolerate this much longer. If the government won't lead the people will lead the government. There'll be a revolution in this country, and there'll be hell to pay for all of us. There will be a revolution in this country if this son of a gun permits 30,000 Syrians to come in, and amongst them, let's say there's a certain percentage of jihadists who slip through the borders. We have Marines surrounded right now in Iraq. And this doofus gets up there and talks about things in these minimalist academic phrases that I thought went out of style a long time ago. I said send in ground troops yesterday. Today, Representative Peter King copied me. Thank God he's listening to the show. He's another one who needs a talk show host to lead him. See, at least he said it. He said, Marines in Iraq at risk, sending ground troops. No, I would send in airborne troops, not ground troops. You don't need men over the ground. This is called airplanes now, Representative King. You don't have to bring them in on flatbeds. There's airplanes now. There's transports with paratroopers. Send 10,000 of them in and wipe them off the planet so our Marines don't wind up dragged through the streets with their heads cut off as they chant Allah Akbar. No, but that's not going to happen, because I think Obama's instead considering sending out the opportunity for them to have a job somewhere in America, if only they'd lay down their weapons. Well, welcome to hour number three. And again, I don't know whether to feel better or worse right now. Because when I listened to Obama give that dumb speech an hour ago, on the one hand, I was relieved to find out he could not be a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, as I feared, because he's too stupid to have been permitted into that club. I don't think they would have him. I don't think he's smart enough. So then I said, that was close. Because yesterday I was pretty sure he was a double agent by what he's been doing. So I said, no, we have to put that one aside. So now he's just a stupid liberal college teacher who was pushed ahead and became president? So now I don't know whether we are in more trouble or less trouble. You know, there's a statement that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Could it be that Obama's simply a good liberal who has good intentions and he's dragging the world to hell with his stupidity? It sure looks like it. I mean, think about it. It sure looks like it, doesn't it? Well, you know, there's a book called The Doors of Perception and Heaven and Hell by Aldous Huxley that I read when I was a wee lad. A wee lad who used to wear Brooks Brothers suits and certain kind of shoes, wingtip shoes. I haven't worn a wingtip shoe since, well, for a long while. But in those days, I would teach my little classes, and then on the Saturdays I'd put on my Brooks Brothers three-piece suit and my wingtip shoes,
And I would go to the West Village to McSorley's Pub, and I would have a little Penguin paperback in my coat pocket. And I would sip my beer and read my little yellowed books in the back, and I thought I was really gaining great experience. I thought I was dining mentally on philosophers, poets, and learning something. Well, eventually I found out that the real world and the book world are not necessarily the same thing. And when I realized that, I started to grow. I don't think Obama's realized that yet. I think he is still stuck in that academic cocoon where everything is quiet and peaceful and kind and everyone's good to him. And he doesn't know what's going on in the world around him. I don't think he knows. This man has more hatred for Republicans and members of the Tea Party than he does for people raping nine-year-old girls. So what does that tell you about him? Are his perceptions altered? Is his consciousness so warped by his brain, the brainwashing that he was raised on, that it's almost hopeless to have a vision that will have a healed America within the next 2 years? I don't know the answer to that. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know the answer to it at all. I know this, that when the judge yesterday ruled that his immigration, this fiat immigration policies were totally unconstitutional, you would have thought something would have happened for the betterment of the law and the country itself. But no, you know what he said today? The college teacher? Oh, that's not going to stop the immigrants. That's meaning wave them right in. So he's again thumbing his nose at the law, even though he's allegedly a law professor. He's thumbing his nose at reality, even though he's allegedly a realist, smart enough to become president. So it leads you to believe that there may be something more here than meets the eye. The phone number is 855-400-7282. There's a very costly discussion. There are some other topics we need to talk about. Here is Joseph Overbiden at the Extremism Summit, saying we need more Muslims rather than less in clip number 8.
As I said, we still have problems, but I'm proud of the American record on culture and economic integration of not only our Muslim communities, but African communities, Asian communities, Hispanic communities, and the wave still continues. It's not going to stop, nor should we want it to stop. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things I think we can be most proud of.
So Biden basically is selling America down the drain. People said to me today, how is this happening? How did the North American Indians get sold out? Who sold out the Native Americans? It was their own tribal leaders, wasn't it? Wasn't it their tribal leaders who were first compromised and then sold out the Native Americans in the beginning? Sure it was. So Biden and Obama and the Republicans like Boehner, whatever his name is, that useless idiot, and McConnell, the gobbler with the gullet there, they are the Indian chiefs who are selling out their own people. Don't look to them for salvation because they're not capable of it. They're just traitors. They're traitors to the country. They're traitors to the meaning of what it is to be an American, what it is to be a nation with borders, language, and culture. So just as the Native Americans were sold out by their own tribal leaders, we are being sold out by allegedly our own tribal leaders. You look at the Aborigines of Australia, to go to another continent for a similar discussion. The Aborigines have had a presence on the Australian continent for millennia, since time itself began and humans first walked the earth. The Aborigines were on the Australian deserts and plains. And then the Europeans came along, and of course you know what happened. But who was it who sold the Aborigines out? Was it the same as the North Americans, the Amerinds, so to speak, having been sold out by their own leadership? What happened to the poor Aborigines that they were so marginalized and pushed into the background of that culture and basically turned into non-humans? Does Obama treat us as though we are the Aborigines of America, simply to be pushed aside and put into first mental reservations, and then dealt with at a later time in a more fundamental manner? Why does he treat us as though we're this stupid, and that we have no power? Why does he tell us that although a judge said you are acting like a dictator, you violated the law, you can't go on with this flooding America with illegal aliens, foreigners who don't belong here? We need a rational policy, not just because you're answering to La Raza and those gangsters in La Raza. That's what the judge said. What Obama said is, we'll do what we want, the immigrants won't be stopped. So in other words, he's treating we, the citizens of America, whites, Hispanics, even black people, are being treated like the aborigines of the Australian continent soon after the invasion by the Europeans. Obama basically is treating us as though we are a conquered people. Did you hear what I said to you? Obama is speaking to us without any respect. He is treating us as though we have no power, no authority, not even a right to our own self-identity as citizens. Obama is treating us as though we are simply aborigines. He has marginalized us. He's called us names. He's put us into mental concentration camps. This is what this dangerous academic man has done to this nation. And don't think the people don't know it. They are at a boiling point. They're about to explode. At the extremism conference, he talked about what happens when people are hopeless and they have legitimate grievances and there's no method of redressing these grievances. And he's so concerned about the Muslims in Iraq and Syria and their grievances and how their rage is boiling over and they join these terrorist groups. But he doesn't talk about our legitimate grievances and what's going to happen in this country if he keeps this up. And I wrote a book called Stop the Coming Civil War. 5 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. 5 weeks. Many of you bought it. Many of you read it. Many of you can't believe the wisdom in the book. But the book is very prescient. This man seems to be pushing us to a civil war. I don't think he will be happy until he does, by the way. And I'll pause right here, take a break, come back and take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Societies have to provide an affirmative alternative for immigrant communities, a sense of opportunity, a sense of belonging, and that discredits the terrorist appeal to fear, isolation, hatred, resentment.
Are these people this stupid? Do they believe this crap? Do you think Biden and his wife sit and talk about this in their living room and believe this? Do they actually believe this? That they have to reach out to immigrants? And especially Muslim immigrants, to make them not feel isolated and such. Do they actually believe this, or are they just, you know, spooning out the baloney? Now, one thing Obama said that I totally agree with. He said we're not at war with Islam. He's right. The problem is radical Islam is at war with us. That's the only problem. See, half of the equation is correct. So the python in the White House is half correct, but I don't know how you could be half right. It's like either a clock is right or wrong, but the python said that we're not at war with Islam. He's right. Yeah, but radical Islam is at war with us. Now, the liberal listening to the show would be screaming right now. They're screaming, they're fuming, they're foaming, they're putting down their whatever they're doing. And the liberal believes this. They say, you know, Savage, you're very entertaining, but you're stuck on a small, crazy fraction of radicalized Muslims who are in no way associated with Islam any more than the Ku Klux Klan is associated with Christianity. This is what the liberal thinks. Now, the number of members of the Ku Klux Klan was always very small in this country, comparatively very small. While the members of the Muslim world who are radicalized or would be radicalized is very large. When you consider there's 1.2 billion Muslims, if there's only 1% of them that are radicalized, what's that number? Do the math. You could do that. 10% of 1.2 billion is 120 million. Isn't that correct? I'll do it for you in reverse. I learned how to add in my head. So 1% would be 12 million. So let's say it's only 1%. That's a lot of people. You say, how could it even be 1.2 million people? Well, they say there's 180,000 members of ISIS right now. So I could not be too far off. Let's say if it's 1%. So now it's like 0.1% has already joined ISIS of the number of people. So that's not just a small crazy fraction, and it's growing. And the reason it's growing is because they have found no resistance. If you keep enabling them as Biden and Obama and the spokesgirl, the dumb spokesgirl, and Kerry, and every one of these liberal, idiotic academics keeps empowering them, Oh, you have grievances. Oh, you have this. Oh, you have that. Oh, you're not bad. Oh, it's not in your book of, it's not in Islam. It's not your religion. Ah, come on. What do you think you're going to do? You're not afraid of anybody because they're not going to fight you. You're not going to fight. So figure, well, you may as well take what you have. If I join ISIS, I might get a chance to rape in this world. Well, let's say you're a sexual maniac and you've gotten away with it. Why not join ISIS? Look at that. You get to rape 9-year-old girls. You put on a filthy robe and you think you're holy while you're raping them. Isn't that wonderful? Put on a filthy robe and utter some guttural Arabic with your other losers over there in the desert and then go rape women and children and tell yourself it's a holy act. Go ahead. You got a place to go. And I hope you all do go there. I hope many of you from around the world who are psychotics and sick do go join ISIS. Because mark my words, we're going to get a president one day in this country that will smoke you. They will atomize you. You keep joining them. Create a state for yourself over there. Make it all yours. And create borders for yourself. You'll be smoked. One day we will wake up and it'll be 50,000 degrees and rising over your new holy land, because the world will not and cannot tolerate this kind of behavior. It never has and it never will. The world, and I mean the real world, I don't mean Obama's false world, this Potemkin world of Obama. The man lives in a Potemkin world of insanity. Jobs are what's going to stop them from raping and murdering when the holy book tells them to do that? Read the damn thing! Would you like me to quote some of the sutras about Jews and Christians and infidels and unbelievers? I'm not going to make up one word, but you can read it for yourself. You can read the Religion of Peace. Now, if you're an educated individual, you know it's garbage and you don't do it. But unfortunately, most of the world is not educated.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Right now, what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. But if we can help countries work at the root causes of this, what makes these 17-year-old kids pick up an AK-47 yes. instead of try to start a business? Maybe we can try and chip away at this problem.
Is this what veganism does to the human mind? I was thinking about it. I know liberalism is probably responsible because we researched her father and mother. And James E. Harf is a classic Carter liberal, a dyed-in-the-wool internationalist, a Jimmy Carterist. That's daddy. And mommy's in the green energy business, don't you know? Gee, I'm shocked that the mother's in the green energy side of the family. And this is the child of this. But I'm wondering if this is what veganism does to the human mind. This is what it started. Does it affect the voice as though you're on laughing gas? A girl doesn't have to sound like that. I mean, it could be a lifetime of the wrong diet that causes the voice to sound as though she just inhaled laughing gas. Because today, this genius who works for Obama gets up and says that, well, you got to hear it for yourself about nuanced stuff. It's in clip three. Listen to this one now.
We cannot kill every terrorist around the world, nor should we try. How do you get at the root causes of this? It might be too nuanced an argument for some, like I've seen over the past 24 hours, some of the commentary out there. But it's really the smart way that Democrats, Republicans, military commanders, our partners
said,
in the air.
That did it for me. It's a combo of a white trash background disguised and gussied up as some kind of university people. But fundamentally trailer park trash in thinking, combined with a bad diet and possibly laughing gas overdose that produces this kind of statement. I never heard anything like this. And I love what she says. We're killing a lot of them, like with pride, like she's personally there. She's G.I. Jane. We're killing a lot of them and we'll kill a lot more of them. We got to get the root causes of this. You know, if you want to remember after Obama's gone and if America, God willing, survives this terror, this reign of terror that we've lived through, and Robespierre is gone, the Robespierre of this administration would probably be Eric Holder. Let's say Robespierre is gone, Madame Defarge is gone. If we survive this period of revolution, this reign of terror that we've lived through, this reign of terror, we'll look back upon this administration with shock that the people put up with it. But if you say, well, how can you reduce it to one soundbite? it would be this Marie Harf saying that by only giving them jobs can we protect them. Okay, I've talked enough. Not really. I could go on and on. I'm so glad to be back in San Francisco. Open up your pearly gates. I liked L.A., but I don't know, not as much as I thought I would. I remember reading about Henry Miller. He's one of my favorite authors. He said, I and the other artists, he said, we'd spend days on the cliffs of Carmel, drinking our wine, looking down, and imagining how life would be when we get to Mexico. And we'd all plan a trip to Mexico. And he said, we'd all go down as a group to Mexico. And then we'd sit on the cliffs drinking wine and thinking about how great it would be to be back in Monterey. That's like me between San Francisco and L.A. Just last week, I couldn't wait to get L.A. To get to L.A. I got to L.A. I had one good dinner out of the whole deal. Then I had a migraine for 5 days, basically, a subdued migraine. I couldn't wait to get back. And now I'm back, and I wish that I was in L.A. I don't understand how this works. I came home with Southwest. It really wasn't that bad. She didn't let me go to the men's room for 30 minutes. That I don't understand. It was a late night flight. There was only 38 people on the flight. So you figure it's going to be easy. And they're known for being nice on Southwest. This one was like a Brunhilde type. She was strapped in. I would say, till the seatbelt goes off. I drank too much water. I had too much vitamin C. I didn't want to get like the flu from someone on the plane. So I gassed up on the high test before I got on. Water, vitamin C. I hadn't had a drink in 2 days. I didn't want to drink nothing, not a beer. Normally I have a beer and my ears go out. And my son gave me the sound suppressing headphones, which worked very well. I didn't have to listen to anybody at the sitting here. But she didn't let me go to the bathroom for 30. I was like, it felt like it was a 50-minute flight. It had to be 20 minutes till I was able to take the seatbelt off. 20, at least 20. It was not a big deal. I mean, it's not a privation. I'm just saying little things that you observe is like, you know, if we weren't at war with ISIS right now, it would be fun to talk about real life and stuff, little things. But in context of what the people are suffering over there, the Christians and the Yazidis and even the innocent Muslims are suffering from these barbaric rapists, it's hard to even say anything about normal life in any kind of comedic way, to be honest with you. But one thing I won't say is that they need jobs in order to stop them. No, sorry, Bob. As people have said, they already have a job, which is raping children and enslaving people. And we're losing the war against ISIS because of the thinking of Obama, as exemplified by this spokesgirl, this dumb spokesgirl. I mean, after all, he had to hire her. And how many months have I told you this country is being run by a stupid sorority? Am I wrong? This is the voice of America now. This is the voice of America. It reminds me of the chick music I hear in department stores. I run out. I can't take it anymore. I went on Rodeo Drive to go shopping. I wanted to buy someone a gift. I bought someone. Look what I bought for a gift to show you how I think. I go up and down Rodeo Drive. What do I buy? I bought someone a bread knife. I am so practical. All of the $12,000 shoes and $15,000 jackets. I enjoy window shopping. It's fun to look at style. I'm not one of these who wants to see women wearing burkas. I'm one of these people. I love style. It's more outrageous. It's beautiful to me. It's very interesting, the human mind, what it can produce. And some of it's quite beautiful, and I love the manufacturing of good clothing. I went into a store and bought a bread knife because I was in a house. There was no bread knife. He had everything in the world but a bread knife. It's very frustrating to get very crisp Italian bread from Dantana's restaurant with some great food. And then when you butcher it, when you cut it and the crumbs go all over the cutting board and the floor, disturb me. So I went to Rodeo Drive. I bought a bread knife. It was $138, but it was a bread knife. It was a Wusthof. Yeah, it was a Wusthof bread knife. I had to instruct the housekeeper, this is washed by hand. You know, you can't put those knives in like a dishwasher. That's from another time. It's like made by these descendants of Vikings. They still know how to make steel in Germany. Wusthof. I'm still watching that show, Vikings. I talked the whole family into watching it. First he said, it's garbage. He wants to watch like a bad soap opera. It's like blonde people in The Sopranos set back 1,000 years ago. That was his first observation. Like the plot is similar. There was Tony the Viking. There was Carmela the Viking's wife. There was the boy Viking, you know. But it really was a similar plot line because these are thematics that keep repeating themselves in cultures through the time. Then they got hooked on it. So we sat on the couch with the dogs two hours, watched the Vikings. The next night I said, what do you want to do? Vikings. Everybody wanted to watch the Vikings the next night. This last night, I can watch them pillaging, raping, murdering. the barbarians that they were. You remember, a guy called the show the other day. Remember, he said, oh, you know, Mike, those Vikings, they just went pillaging. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They killed, they raped, they tortured, they mutilated priests. They were very much like the ISIS barbarians, the Vikings. Except they didn't do it in the name of a holy book. See, that's a little difference. That's number one. And number two, there was no internet. There was no way to recruit into the Viking cult. They were kind of early Aryan. I mean, you had to be tall and blonde, didn't you, and blue-eyed in order to be a Viking? If you were short with black, dark eyes, could you join the Vikings? I don't know. Is that? You know what I watched? Does anyone watch the show Vikings on TV? It's like, Robert, have you gotten around to it yet? No, because you'd be a good bellwether. You know, a nice, smart guy, but I don't think you watch it. Every time I watch it, I see these tall, blonde guys with big, like, curly hair and muscles. I think of Hell's Angels pillaging. It reminds me of things like Hell's Angels talking to each other. Like motorcycle clubs going on a pillaging spree in England or what they would do. That's what I think. If the Hell's Angels were more organized, they would ban drugs from their own club. They could really be organized that way. Think about what they could achieve. Maybe we get all the motorcycle gangs of America and organize them and take them over to the Middle East. I'm sure they know how to clean the clock of ISIS. Let's say there was no rules of engagement. And the military finally said to the guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these vicious guys. We're going to take them out of Pelican Bay. We're going to take murderers, rapists. And we're going to make like the Dirty Dozen out of this group. I mean, some of them you can't trust to do anything that's right. They're going to rebel against you because they're criminals. And criminals will rebel against you no matter what freedoms you may give them. But let's say there's a percentage amongst the most hardened criminals in America who really do enjoy murdering and torturing people. And you take these hardened men and you say which ones you can actually deal with, and you give them freedom if they can bring back 10 heads of ISIS soldiers. Each one brings back 10 heads. He gets 10 years off his sentence. That's the motivation. I don't mean he has to bring it back to America like in an ice bucket. I mean, back to the base. 10 heads, you get 10 years off your sentence. And you give them some training, you give them some weapons, and you take them over there. You give them some desert training, and you unleash them on ISIS. I wonder how long this ISIS army would hold up if we really unleashed the most vicious, psychotic members of our society. It's a fantasy, I admit. I'm a novelist at heart. And, I mean, in talk radio, I try to integrate some fantasy with some nonfiction. But there's a part of me that fictionalizes things, and though not everything that's fictionalized is so far from the mark. I mean, there was a movie years ago with Lee Marvin called The Dirty Dozen, which was about taking hardened criminals and putting them into a band to go fight the Nazis because they knew that they needed really bad people to fight really bad people. You can't send boys over there who have never fired a gun and give them rules of engagement that are going to get them killed and expect them to win. You can take some of our best boys in this country and put them into that situation. But if you give them the rules of engagement that George Bush had written, you're going to wind up with what we have. You're not going to win the war, which is why they're rampaging and why they're growing. It's because of the rules of engagement. I say it's time to take the gloves off. I say it's time to treat fire with fire. I say it's time an eye for an eye. And I say it's time for a break. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Inexcusable acts of violence have been committed against people of different faiths, by people of different faiths, which is, of course, a betrayal of all our faiths. It's not unique to one group or to one geography or one period of time.
So Obama's conducting a jihad against the truth, and everyone with an IQ in this country above a certain level understands he's committing a jihad against reality. We're not in a war with Islam. No, not at all. And he doesn't mention the slaughter of Jews and Christians. No. Doesn't mention the rapes, the murders by Muslims. Instead, he talks about the grievances in the Muslim world. Then he talks about the historic grievances that are sometimes accurate. And then he says we have to address the grievances that terrorists exploit when there are no outlets by which people can express their concerns. Resentments fester. You see, the same mentality at Ferguson is now being applied to Syria. So if it's burn, baby, burn, that's because there's resentment in the minority community. And so now he's taking his community organizing skills and trying to apply. They work so well here. And an incompetent liar like him gets this far. Why shouldn't he apply it to Syria? If it works here with the dumb American voter, why wouldn't it work there? That's what he's figuring. It worked here. Why wouldn't it work there? So let's talk about the same rubbish over there. We'll get Marie Harft out there to talk about getting them jobs. So then a CNN reporter accuses the White House of, quote, tiptoeing through the tulips by avoiding references to radical Islamic terrorists. White House war criminal Josh Earnest goes on with more double talking and won't say Muslim again. And so accusations are raging around the Western world that this Quisling administration is bending over backwards to sympathize with Muslim victims of violence, such as the three young Muslims killed by a gunman in a parking lot in North Carolina, by an atheist, by the way, while downplaying the religion of victims in other attacks. And then when people were killed by a terrorist in a kosher deli in Paris, he said they were killed randomly, not because they were Jewish, even though it wasn't a Jewish deli. And then when he talked about the beheading of 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians this week by Islamic State terrorists, the twisted White House referred to the victims as citizens, not Christians, saying there was no religious motivation for the attack. This is very sick. These are sick people. These are very, very sick people, and they're evil. You know, there's a word for an illness that goes on like this when the whole world knows they're full of crap and they're covering for these people. And this is called evil. We have an evil president. You know, earlier I said he's just naive. Well, he could be naive and evil. You can be naive, you can be idealistic, and you could be evil at the same time. Being naive and idealistic does not somehow dismiss the concept that you can also be quite evil. You know, there's some people who would argue that being this naive in the face of such terrorism is evil unto itself. And I wouldn't be the only one to observe that, would I? No, your observer, Michael, is not alone in his observations of this very, very dangerous administration. Call it naive, call it evil, call it Quisling, call it treasonous, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, this is the most dangerous administration in the most dangerous of times. And as I say, he is conducting a jihad against the truth itself. That is exactly right. To say that the Christians who had their heads cut off were citizens and not Christians is again spitting at all Christians in the United States of America. Now, why would he do that? Why would he have done a thing like that? Why would he say a thing like that? Why would he always cover for Muslim extremists or murderers? Why would he say that the Jews who were killed were not Jews? They were just some folks in a deli. Tell me why. Why would he refer to victims in Libya who had their heads cut off when they were Egyptian Coptic Christians with families, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, children, whose hearts are broken forever? Why would this creature in the White House, why would he call them citizens rather than Christians? Why would he continue to imply that there's no religious motivation for the attack? Tell me why. Is it naivete? Is it for some other reason? Does it really matter why? When we have a president who acts like this, I would call it evil. Some dare not call it evil. There's a great Orson Welles movie from years ago called The Touch of Evil. I would say we have more than a dollop of evil emanating from the White House. And it has to change rapidly if we ever to protect ourselves. We are losing the war, and they are winning the war. There are now 280,000 of them in that army. And our boys are surrounded in northern Iraq. While Obama golfs, the world burns.